Hey everyone, Josh here. Quick question for you. Do you like coffee? Even more important question, do you like fresh coffee? Coffee that's roasted to order and doesn't taste like the bottom of your kitchen oven? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you need to head over to MaquanoCoffee.com and get yourself some of the best coffee there is to get. Whether you like the light roast or the dark roast, or you're feeling a little whimsical and you want to get that sample pack, Maquano Coffee Roasters has everything you need. And just when you thought this couldn't get any sweeter, make sure to use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. Do yourself a favor and stop drinking bad coffee, because you know what? Life's too short for that. Head on over to MaquanoCoffee.com and use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. You will not regret it. Thanks, and now on to the show.
What do you got for me?
What's wrong with you people?
I got nothing for you.
What's wrong with you?
Right there, that was so good.
What's going on, everyone, and welcome to the Reformatory, the podcast for the local church and by the local church, and we are your local churchmen. My name is Josh, and I'm here with the captain, Jack Barry, in full P&W. He's got the flannel and the Tillamook hat, looking great, looking fly, as always. Looking great, man. It is good to be with you this morning. Well, not even though it's morning, this afternoon. I'm tired. It's nowhere near the morning. It's closer to nighttime than it is morning. I don't know what's going on with me.
I mean, hey, I get it.
Yeah.
It's one of those weeks, dude. One of those weeks.
It is, man. It's been, we were talking before, it's a Tuesday that feels like a Monday that felt like last Monday. And but it's all good. I got to preach last Sunday. It was awesome. Took a small break. Pastor David preached at a church down south, so I got to fill the pulpit, and I did an exposition on Psalm 23. That was a lot of fun, so got to do that. And then my preaching schedule stacked for the next 4 weeks. I preached last week, and I'm preaching the next 3 weeks. I'll be down at Redeemer Bible Church in Seattle next week, and then so I'm really looking forward to that. Pastor Tyler down there in Seattle doing the Lord's work, man. A good Reformed church in the heart of Seattle. It doesn't get much.
Is he West Seattle area?
Yeah, he's like, it is. It's in the bowels, my friend.
The bowels.
Doing the Lord's work down in the darkness, and then back to Redeemer, my Redeemer. After that, and then a church in Eastern Washington. So busy couple Sundays coming up for me, but all good. Enjoy being able to get out and serve some churches in that way. It's a lot of fun. So, but Jack, how are you? How are you doing?
I am recovering from sickness.
So yes.
My family and I had to stay home this Lord's Day, which kind of stunk. Mm-hmm. But it was for the betterment of all of us. We all felt
trash. Your church family thanks you for not spreading love of whatever you had.
Yeah. So I did go to men's group last night, so that was helpful. So we're going through, it's basically what we, it's kind of, it'll segue into what we're talking about today, but we go through a book, and then we kind of just go through really some time of getting to know one another and like having community and fellowship in that group of guys. Four guys meets every Monday at about 7:30.
Awesome.
So. And then I am almost down 15 pounds.
Let's go, dude.
Beginning in April. So, been working my way through this, trying to get down. It's been nice because I really don't starve myself. It's just on what my trainer does is a carb cycle. Mm-hmm. And so he just puts me on higher carbs when I have to lift higher weight certain days. But
There you go.
Obviously, being sick has kind of helped out with that, because when you're like 1 to 2 days, you've just drank nothing but electrolytes and water. Yeah, that's yes. probably going to help you out, your weight loss. So he's like, hey,
oh yeah, 100%.
A win's a win. So
hey, I mean, anyway. I don't recommend the stomach flu, but it is effective, yeah. right? It's
I don't recommend colds. I don't recommend yeah. a cold or like cough or anything yeah. like that to put you
it gets
in
the job
a,
done, though.
A weight loss journey. But hey,
yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah. No, that's
what,
good
does,
stuff.
Does
man.
What it needs to do. So
it yeah. does. Fun it stuff. Does. Yep. Yeah. Both of us hitting 2026 hard, man. We're getting healthy. It's awesome. I like mm-hmm. it. Yep. Trying anyway. But Jack, my friend, we're not here to talk about our diets and our weight loss. We're here to talk about the local church. That's why people tune in. Yeah. And we're, you know, 4 minutes into this now, and it's time to get to business, my friend. So before we do that, though, as always, it's everyone's favorite segment. Don't forget to eat your Instant Grams.
And now's the time you've all been waiting for. The Reformatory Podcast presents Don't Forget to Eat Your Instant Grams with your hosts, Josh Loftus and Jack Berry. And remember, kids, it's not heresy if you believe it hard enough.
This is Don't Forget to Eat Your Instant Grams. Remember, kids, it's not heresy if you believe it hard enough. That's how it works. Jack, if I mention I really like that little intro, it's fun. It's fun. It reminds me of like the old Roy Rogers. Remember? Or even better, do you remember the 1920s Superman cartoons where he's like punching the kryptonite machine, right? Do you remember? It reminds me of that.
It kind of reminds me of I have VHS tapes that I grew up with of the old Little Rascals, black and white.
Yes.
It kind of reminds me of that.
Yeah.
It's
probably
nuts.
Not 20s. It's probably not 20s. How old?
I mean,
20s seems a little old. It was probably
whim.
40s.
We made that. I'm that was literally at that was improving right there. That was literally 5 minutes
it
of
was.
Improv that we did.
That intro so, happened. Jack witnessed the birth of that intro. He was there in the room. He held my hand. He cut the cord. Jack was that intro's what? Midwife. He was. Yeah.
What? Yeah. Oh, my gosh. That's hilarious.
All right, Jack. We got a couple of funny videos for you. This first one. Here's the thing. We're gonna take a trip. We're going to take a trip across the Tiber, across the river. We're going to see what the Catholics are up to right now. Let's see what the Catholics are up to. All right. Tell me why. Dude.
Leo's gone nuts, dude. Leo is bending the knee to culture now.
Little Backstreet Boys? Backstreet Boys for mass?
Bending the knee to Backstreet right now.
Yeah.
How about we say that?
That's, who says? I mean, dude. Here's the thing, right? Backstreet Boys hit. They do. I fully understand. They hit hard. But how that works into that mass, I'm not sure.
In a church service?
No. Okay, well, we're going to swim back to our side of the shore, okay? back to our side, firmly in the realm of Baptists. And Jack, this video, there's nothing bad about this video, okay? It's just funny. So I'm not saying anything. I want to, because normally we feature videos in this segment that we would be like, bro, what are you doing? This is ridiculous. Stop it. Okay. That's not this video.
Baby, what you doing right now?
Exactly. You know? I included this video because the event itself, I think, is very funny. But then the aftermath of the guys like trying to be respectful, but trying not to laugh, dude, it's hilarious. Okay. This is a baptism gone wrong here. Okay.
Jesus.
I'm helping you.
This guy's face, like, oh, what happened? He's trying to keep a straight face. He goes to shut the door. They're laughing because the. He's like, calm down.
Yes, you dipped him.
Because you dipped him. So for the audio only listeners, this is a video of a baptism gone wrong. It's this pastor baptizing this guy, and he sends him under, and the pastor goes under too. I think the pastor got more immersed than this guy did.
Dude, yeah, the pastor got more. The pastor went more full immersion.
I think this guy was under. I think this guy, the pastor fell under this dude, and he pulls it up, and then it's them in like the green room. Trying to like keep it down because the service is going on. And he's like, "Cuz you dipped him. You dipped." Oh man, baptism fails are some of my favorite. Baptism fails are pretty great, man. I love them. Yeah. I love them. All right, Jack, on to business. Something that we want to talk about today: having a casual conversation about our mutual love for discipleship in the local church. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. If your church is not discipling, get a new church. No, sorry. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to say that. Sorry, feeling a little spicy. Okay, not going to say that. But here's the thing. Discipleship within the local church is an absolute must. We should be doing this. Okay. Now, discipleship happens in many different ways, right? Within the local church. Primarily, the primary means of discipleship is the word preached on the Lord's Day. That is primary. We would all confess that to be true. We confess that that is paramount. That must happen, right? But we would also confess that the local church and how discipleship is supposed to work, we believe biblically, was not intended, nor was it designed, to simply remain at the pulpit on the Lord's Day, right? And we can hold those two things as a reality. We believe that it is paramount and the most important, but it is also not meant to be exclusive in its usage, right? And in its, I would say, in its application, okay? There are some churches out there, not many, thank the Lord, but there are some churches that would confess that discipleship ministry, counseling ministries, things of that sort, are done through and are accomplished, they would say, through the preaching of the Word of God, right? That ordinary means of grace that we all agree to and we all love and we all cherish. But they would say that that is sufficient, that the preaching of the Word of God on the Lord's Day covers the need for discipleship, for counseling, soul care, things like that. I would disagree. I think we would disagree that is just, that's not true, right? Why limit it is my question. Why when you can have both, why would we limit that, right? So discipleship is something that's very, very important, and what like I said, there's lots of ways that discipleship can happen. We've talked about preaching of the word. That's primary. Counseling is another means of discipleship. It's very effective. I would say that that's more specific and more intensive discipleship than perhaps what many would think of when they, think of the term discipleship these days. But counseling is one of those as well. It's just very intensive, very specific, very pointed, and has a very specific purpose for that type of discipleship, right? But discipleship is very, very simple. It's utilizing the Word of God to encourage, convict, and admonish another believer. That's what we're doing. We are taking the scriptures and pointing that individual to them and saying, this is how we are called to live. This is how we are called to think. This is what we are called to believe. That is discipleship. And that happens in many different ways within the local church. So I know Jack, just as I do, is very passionate about discipleship, especially men's ministry. Mm-hmm. As Jack has a lot of history in the local church with that. Jack, what has why don't you hype up discipleship for us a little bit? Get our listeners excited. Ooh. For why discipleship's important and why we should all be caring about it.
Yeah, discipleship is a thing to where, I mean, this is like the ironing sharpening iron that happens on a regular basis that really you see too in the early church, in Acts 2, right? To where they were gathered, they were meeting almost every day and gathering together and wanting to study under the apostles and the apostles' teaching. The Lord's Day had its place, and I think that's important, but then they wanted to gather together and they wanted more discipleship.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I constantly hear this too from people in the local church where they want to go deeper into books. They don't just want a surface level book to study. They want to go deeper into the word, into understanding things. Mm-hmm. And I think discipleship does that to a certain extent. It's not so much, I mean, discipleship could be, it could take several different forms, right? It could be through a community group. It could be through a way in which you meet every morning with a group of guys and talk about pieces of scripture.
Mm-hmm.
It could be in a way in which you do a men's ministry. So like my current men's ministry, what we did is we decided to, instead of just do like a men's breakfast every month, we're doing like a 10 week first kind of little intensive chunk to where we're looking at a book called Prodigal God by Tim Keller, talking about that. But more importantly, we're getting to know one another, pray for one another, talk through theological concepts. Like those are things that I think men need more of in their lives, not less of. Because honestly, when that happens, you're not going to be swayed by extreme positions. Mm-hmm. You're going to be more sharpened by other men in your local church who have been in the faith. There's right now, my men's group has 4 guys in it. Actually, 3 of us are like, 36, 38, 40. And then the youngest guy is 24 and he just got engaged, over the weekend. Mm-hmm. So he has a lot to learn. And sure. we can definitely put him through those paces and help him out and disciple him through that. But yeah, there's a way in which discipleship just truly, I don't know, it enhances how you are living out your faith. And then on top of it, how you are understanding the faith as well too.
Yeah. So. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's much needed, right? And it is something that I think we would do well to realize and to understand that discipleship is a responsibility of the membership, right? Yes. It is a community responsibility, okay? Now, with that, I believe that it starts from the pulpit. I do believe that primarily the pastor elders of the church are responsible for discipling the flock. That's one of their primary functions, right? And again, they do that in a multitude of ways, primarily preaching and teaching the word of God, right? So if we're going to cultivate this culture of discipleship in our local church, it's got to start with the pastors. It's got to start with the pulpit, right? We have to be not only preaching that discipleship is important, but modeling that discipleship is important. We should be the ones that are reaching out to our members to facilitate these things, right? Both on the Lord's Day and throughout the week. Okay. And that looks preaching, that looks counseling, that looks small groups, Bible studies, that even looks like just fellowship, right? Some of the sweetest, and we'll talk about creating opportunities later, but little spoiler, some of the sweetest and most effective modes of discipleship that I have found, especially with men, is when you get a group of men together with no set agenda, but you provide the environment for and have a few key people who they're disciplers. They have the disciplers art. They want to invest in these young men and watch it happen. It's really, really cool. More on that later, right? But it's got to start with the pulpit. It's got to start with teaching it, proclaiming it, and living it, modeling it. If you want your members to believe that it's important, they have to see that it's important. If you want them to be convinced of the importance of having a culture of discipleship within your church, the older men discipling the younger men, the older women discipling the younger women, if you want them to think that that's important, that they have to know that you think that's important, right? So it has to start with us pastors, us elders. We have to be cultivating this understanding, and teaching this understanding within the local church. It's got to start with the pulpit, because if you're just trying to just make something happen, like just if you're just trying to make vibes, right, without actually doing the work of what needs to happen in order to create that culture, then yeah, you're just trying to create something that doesn't have any foundation. It doesn't have any roots. Right. But if you want discipleship to be seen as important and to be engaged like it's important, it's got to start with the pulpit. You got to preach it. You got to model it.
Yeah. Before we started to do this way of kind of discipleship and men's ministry, we were really just and this might go into our second point of training and equipping, but the way that my local church does this is it trains and equips men who are right at a way in which they could go into a deacon role or an elder role and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And so really, like, it's modeled by our pastors too, by training us in what we call Pastors and Leaders Institute. And then kind of also encouraging us to be like, you guys have to disciple men as well too. Yep. So basically it's like, hey, if you're not investing in a guy or a younger guy or a guy who's just newer to the faith, man, I would just pray and start investing your time. And really, that's kind of looked like more of these 4x4, we call them 4x4 groups, to where, you know, you have four men who are, I would say, in community, discipling each other in this. And you have one guy who's kind of facilitating kind of questions to kick us off and to keep the ball rolling. And so, yeah, there's just... but I would say that training and equipping, like that leading from the pulpit, goes down into what are you doing for training and equipping? Are you, do you have ways in which you can train and equip your men's ministry or your community group leaders, or like, you know, like my church has like Pastors and Leaders Institute, and that will basically give you a bench of guys who just say, hey, it's now you've been trained. You've been discipled in this way. Now you can train and disciples others in this way as well too, and keep going and going and going, and it replicates. Mm-hmm. So I think the other thing too is like, what does your local church look like when it comes to training and equipping guys as well too? And then what does that look like for the model of sending those guys out and doing that work of discipleship?
So. Yeah, completely agree. Yeah. It's training and equipping the men in your church, men and women. Sorry, I'm thinking in my context of Bible studies. Training and equipping the men and women of your church to disciple the younger folks in your church absolutely has to be part of the plan. And I think that there's this, at least I have found that there's kind of this mystery around discipleship. Like, how do we do it? What's the most effective, right? Like, it can often be kind of this big and scary thing to starting a quote unquote, you know, discipleship ministry in our church. You know, you have phrases like every person needs a Paul and a Timothy, right? You need someone that's investing in you and someone you're investing in. It's like, well, you know, that's, I think, roundaboutly true. Yes. I'm not going to suggest that a brand new believer start discipling, you know, somebody else, right? So there are limits to that phraseology, but I understand the heart behind it. But discipleship, especially when it comes to the local church, it's not hard. It's really easy to do. And I think some people make it harder than it has to be by trying to make it programmatic or trying to make it catchy and flashy. And how do we really get specific in our discipleship, you know, with this and this and this? And you make it really difficult, right? Like, we confess as Reformed people that the Word of God is alive and active, that it's sufficient, right? Sola Scriptura. We believe that it's our authority. We believe it's inerrant. We believe it's alive. It's powerful. So let the Word of God do the work. You know, I often tell guys when they're thinking about, you know, wanting to, like, either wanting to be discipled or wanting to begin to disciple like other young men, it's like, just get to know them, have a conversation, right? Don't just walk up to them and be like, I think, you know, the Lord is calling me to be your discipler. Let's get together once a week and work through this book of the Bible and challenge each other on our theological stances. That's not discipleship. right? And nobody in their right mind is going to hear that. And well, some people might, and I think they're just weird. But nobody's going to hear that and be like, "Yeah, I'm in. That sounds great. Yes, yeah. Let's meet every week and debate." Right? Like, no, that's not discipleship. It's got to start with relationship. Get to know the men and the women in your church. Get to know them.
Yep.
Have relationships with them. Have them over to your house. Right? And what you'll find is that as you open up your hearts and your homes to these people in your church, discipleship becomes so much easier because that relational work has already been done. So discipleship conversations are going to just happen naturally because that's what happens when we get closer to people, right? So part of the training and equipping I have found is I mean, ultimately, yes, you want mature believers discipling other believers, right? So I'm not saying that there should not be any theological training or counseling training or things like that. That's absolutely right and good to do, and you should do those. But what I have found is that the vast majority of training and equipping is simply teaching and equipping these men and women in your church to just be hospitable, just be Christian to one another, right? Like, how do you come alongside a young person who, you know, they're not in the same generation as you, but what do you have in common? Right. And so that's where I have found a lot of the training and a lot of, I think, the mystery is for some people, because they think about, oh, discipleship, you know, that sounds really big and really official and really scary. It's not. It's what you're called to do as a member with any other member. Sometimes you just, you're more intentional with some people than others because that's who the Lord has brought into your life at that moment. So training and equipping has to be there, but take the mystery away, right? Pastor, take the mystery away and kind of the facade of fear away from discipleship for your people and show them. It's not hard. Have people over to your house. Ask how they're doing.
Invest in
their lives.
I'll tell you one way that we did a discipleship kind of season is where basically guys in my community group were just like, hey, let's have this like little underground in-depth Bible study and we'll just invite a bunch of families. We'll do a potluck style and then we'll just go into like chunks of the Bible, right? And then just do a time of that. Sorry, my son is melting down.
Oh, no. It's nap time. It's nap time. Yeah.
It's more than that. So, yeah, it's like...
it's more as than long that. As, no, let's be real. Homie's being a brat right now.
As long as you have like that kind of like commission by your pastors and your elders and they're kind of kosher with it, then...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Don't do things under the nose of your pastors and elders, right? Like if your pastor and elders are surprised that you're having a Bible study at your house, yeah, that's a problem. Definitely, right? We should all know what
not gonna go
what,
well.
That's not gonna go well. No. We should all know what the other's doing, right? But so yeah, if you want that culture of discipleship, it's gotta start from the pulpit. It's gotta be preached and modeled by your leaders. There should be training and there should be equipping, right? Demystify discipleship for your people. And lastly, I would say you create opportunities, right? And that's where the more, if you will, the more programmatic things can come into play. Those can be effective. But also, one of the primary opportunities that you encourage to create is people opening their homes. That is what I have found to be the most effective in creating a culture of discipleship within the local church, is that you have people who are hospitable. They don't even have to be willing to lead stuff. They are providing the space, right? They're providing the opportunity for discipleship to happen. That is so valuable, right? So maybe you're listening to this and you're like, hey, like I feel like I might have a lot to learn. I have a ways to go before I feel like, you know, the Lord's calling me to invest in somebody else, but I really want to help. I really want to be a part. Like, praise the Lord for that. Open your home. Even if it's just for a few people, create an environment for that. Talk to your pastors about serving in that way. That's so encouraging when I hear members say, hey, like, I'm not very comfortable leading a small group, but I would love to host one. Like, praise the Lord. That's awesome. I love that, right? Discipleship is easy to do, and creating opportunities for it are easy. They can be, like I said, more programmatic. They can be small groups, like actual Bible studies, times of teaching where you're getting together and you're discipling men through or women through a like a systematic theology. Maybe you guys are going through some sort of book. Maybe you're doing maybe it looks like some sort of other teaching, some supplementary teaching. Sometimes it looks like what we're going to be doing this Saturday and having a guy's night. Like, it's fellowship. We're getting together and I'm providing food. I'm providing the opportunity. And what happens every single time, and I've talked about this on the podcast before, without fail, those discipleship conversations happen. By the end of the night, I am looking around and I'm seeing guys being very intentional with each other, having really deep and important conversations. Now, obviously, those are mixed with the fun, superficial conversations and the goofy conversations because guys are at ease, right? Guys, they're not. There's no walls up. I haven't created an environment where it's like, okay, all right, we're all going to sit down and we're gonna get vulnerable and we're going to talk about the ways that we have sinned this week and we're going to hold each other accountable. Dude, the walls shoot up so fast when you do that. But you create an environment where, hey, we're going to get together and fellowship with one another. But I know that there are intentional brothers amongst us that do not allow a ripe field for harvest go to waste. And those conversations happen. And it's so cool to see. Create opportunities for that. And there's many different ways to do it, but open your homes, create those spaces. Jack, anything else on creating opportunities at all?
Yeah, it's really also too, like, there has to be a time too where maybe like you are part of creating those opportunities. Mm-hmm. And you just need to step up sometimes and help out your local leaders or pastors, because there was a men's retreat where we were really kind of wanting that to be a launch point for us to gather other men in order that we could kind of like, I don't know, get more men motivated to see that discipleship needed to happen more than just like on a monthly basis.
Yeah.
More than just us kind of having breakfast, but then also just having really shallow, either like the teachings weren't shallow that we were doing, but I think our conversations were a little bit more shallow.
Sure.
So there needs to be, you know, how do we create those opportunities? Your pastors might say, hey, we need some people to step up to help us out to create opportunity. Mm-hmm. But we really need people to help out. And so that's where myself and two or three other guys stepped up to the plate and said, yeah, like, let's talk about what that looks like and how we can initiate it with guys and how it can be a blessing to them and stuff like that. So yeah, absolutely. be a part of creating that opportunity and stepping up. Mm-hmm. It's so cliche, I think, in the local church to be like, oh, I want to step up and preach, or I want to step up and lead.
Sure. It's sure. Like, yeah. Yeah.
It's like the
sounds like you just want to be in front.
Yeah. The easiest way for you to honestly just step up and lead and help create something is just saying, hey, I really have a burden for the young men in our local church, or just the men in our local church, that they would be equipped in every good deed. So how can I be a part of that? So, leading and being and creating opportunities and being able to create opportunities kind of looks like that sometimes. It doesn't mean that you're trying to be out front and charismatic and all this other stuff. It just means that you want to just be faithful and you want to create opportunities where faithfulness and discipleship can happen as well too. So,
yeah. And that's where the real work of discipleship happens, in the trenches with faithful men and women who care about their brothers and sisters in Christ. That's what it is. That's how the church advances. And that's how the kingdom is built, on the backs of faithful members of the local church. So if you want to cultivate that, preach it, model it, train and equip, and create opportunities for that to happen and watch the health of your local church soar through the roof as you see those older men discipling the younger men, older women discipling the younger women, coming alongside them. It's a beautiful picture, and it is it's the way the church is supposed to function. So it's pretty awesome. Jack, my friend, it is time for us to get out of here. Time to go record some Patreon for our folks. Why don't you get us out of here, my man?
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, if you appreciate what Josh and I do here on the Reformatory and how we always want to make the local church central to the believer's life, you can follow us on the sociables, if you will, on those dastardly little things. You can send us a direct message. You can ask us a question. If you have a comment, a concern, an episode idea, we're trying to come up with maybe a episode where we do a little mailbag where it sounds like old school radio show calls.
That's
stuff
right.
Stuff like that. Hopefully in the future. That'd be fun. But yeah, if you want to follow us more and engage us more on those sociable platforms, you can find us on the Facebook Meta, if you will. It's not the metaverse. I heard they shut the metaverse down. So
is it down
now?
We don't
have the metaverse. Yeah.
Oh,
They scrapped it. So you just have
Meta.
What
are we going to do?
Anyways, the Instagram goes well with chocolate, marshmallow, little sprinkle of heresy on top of that. And the always interesting and deplorable sociable, formerly known as Twitter X, if you will.
That's right.
I want to get on that train every now and then. So
every now and then, us. You know,
yeah,
it's like candy. Like every once in a while, you pop over there, but don't make a diet of it. It's not good for you.
Yeah. We're on all those sociable platforms at the tag at Reformatory Pod. Josh, you can tell the lovely people how they might support us further here in our endeavors.
That's right. Well, there are multiple ways that you can do that. You can head on over to YouTube if you like watching this episode as well as listening to it. It does make the Instagrams a lot more fun when you can see what's happening as well as listen to it. Or, you know, you could just not do that and continue to listen to it like it's radio. And that's fine, too. That's, you know, if that's your thing, that's your thing. But if you do head on over to YouTube, like, comment, subscribe, hit the little bell for notifications. As the kids say, we greatly appreciate it. You can head on to Spotify and Apple. They allow you to rate the podcast as well as review the podcast, and we would greatly appreciate that as well. And maybe write us a little review. Maybe share this episode with a friend. Tell a friend, hey, you know, these guys are fun. They're funny. They're chill. We like them. We like the cut of their jib, as you say. Share the Reformatory around. Helps get the podcast out to more people. Last but not least, there's a Patreon. If you like the podcast so much that you're like, you know what? Thursday's just not enough. I need more of these guys. I want to hear more of what these guys have to say, because I bet you that not only are they smart, but I bet you they're really funny. Said no one ever. But if for some reason you did think that, you can head on over to the Patreon and be proven wrong. But it'll cost you $5. $5 to be proven wrong. But you do get this episode early. And you do get multiple bonus episodes every week. And you do get exclusive Reformatory chat and exclusive content that's sent straight to you guys. It's a lot of fun over at the Patreon. And we try to keep it fun and light. It's where the hair gets let down a little bit. And you hear what Jack and I really think about things. Yeah, because there's a paywall. But anyway, if you choose to do that, $5 a month. Our pledge to you is that your name shall be hallowed.
Hallowed, sir. Hallowed.
Hallowed through the halls of the podcast. That is our pledge to you. We thank you all for listening, and we will catch you on the next step of the Reformatory.